This week on the show, Poshmark decides to end their international sites. Mercari decides to start making sense. And I sell some amazing books. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to a Better Late Than Never episode number 222 of the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. My name is Ryan, and I will be your host as we walk through a little bit of reselling news from the last 10 days or so. There's not a ton of stuff going on, but some of it is pretty big. And then in the second half of the show, for the book lovers among you, I've got some really, really great sales to go over. So let's get it kicked off with reselling news.
News updates.
So in last week's episode, we talked about some of the great new features that Poshmark had just announced. And then last week, not even a week after that, they made yet another announcement, but this one was probably not so great. This was posted on their blog from their CEO, a letter from the CEO. Dear Poshmark community, our mission has always been to put people at the heart of commerce. From the start, we envisioned a vibrant community that would share their style and create the largest network of shoppable closets around the world. And while our ambition to connect as many closets as possible remains the same, I'm sad to share that we've made the tough decision to close three of our expansion marketplaces, Poshmark UK, Poshmark Australia, and Poshmark India, effective October 26th, 2023. So as I sit here and record this, it is the 24th. So in just 2 days, those three marketplaces will cease to operate. I know this is especially hard news, he said. For those of you across the globe who have come to know and love Poshmark, please know that I'm incredibly grateful for you and the community that we've built together. Not grateful enough to keep it going, but that's another story. We hope to be back at some point in the future. That is interesting to me, and we'll get into that here in a minute as well. This move, while difficult, will allow us to focus our energy and increase our investments in our core markets, the US and Canada. For additional information, please see our frequently asked questions, and thank you for your continued support. That is from Manish Chandra, the founder and CEO of Poshmark. You may recall, many months ago, I did an episode where we discussed the fact that the South Korean firm Naver had purchased Poshmark. And they said at the time they were going to allow Poshmark to operate as they had and be what they seemed to indicate would be independent. And I commented at the time that I thought we would have to wait and see how that went, because at some point, Naver was going to want to recoup some of its investment, which was not insignificant. If my memory serves me correctly, it was like $1.6 billion they paid for Poshmark. And at some point, they were going to want to start making some money. There are essentially two ways to do that: grow or get rid of unprofitable businesses. My best reading of the tea leaves on this is that those particular markets were woefully underperforming. I read an article elsewhere that indicated that among the three of those markets, there were less than 500,000 active users. India is well over 1 billion people. Now, obviously, not all of them have access to the internet, let alone Poshmark, but that's still a pretty big and pretty tech-savvy market. Australia and the UK are obviously both fairly substantial markets, and the fact that they were only able to garner, after however long they've been over there, 500,000 active users probably got the attention of the higher-ups at Naver, who have their money tied up in this thing, and hence the decision was made to pull the plug on those. Now, again, a skeptic would say, why would you do that? You have all this potential growth, and now you've even said in this article that you may be back in the future. Why not just double down and continue to try to make those markets work? Because all of the work, all of the time, effort, and energy that you've put into getting to where you are today is going to be lost, and you're going to be starting from scratch. So I'm a little skeptical about this whole move. Hopefully they do what they say and they re-up their investments in the US and Canada and continue to grow those markets to the point where they can maybe absorb a little short-term loss for international expansion. But this was a fairly disappointing a bit of news. It obviously should not affect US or Canadian sellers in any kind of negative way, other than to make you wonder what the future of Poshmark might look like as a company. Mercari, Hat tip to my friend Media Picker for the intro that they start making sense. I've talked about this a few times on the show. Mercari had this weird pricing strategy where everything is round, even dollar amounts. It's $10, it's $12. There were no pennies or fractional cents. And they have now decided this rolled out slowly. I saw it last week on, I believe, on Wednesday. And then they sent out an announcement to users. It appears that this has been rolling out for some time, because when I posted this on my Instagram at GalaxyCDsRocks, if you're not following me over there, several users mentioned that they had seen this already over the last couple of weeks. But they are now allowing people to put in uneven dollar amounts. So if you want to do $10.99 or whatever it is, you can now do that. I don't know that that's a feature that a lot of people were really asking for, but it was always kind of a weird thing. And now they are allowing you to do that. They are also rolling out a what they call a quick list tool. Mercari is inviting some sellers into a beta test of a new, faster listing tool. All sellers need is a photo and a title along with a selling price in order to list an item for sale. The tool is available through the mobile app. It's apparently by invitation only. Mercari told invitees to try its new quicker listing beta. All you need is a pick, a price, and a title, and that's it. You're done. Tap list and add your picks. Choose existing photos from your device or take new pics of your item. You can drag and drop and crop images right from the Mercari app. Then add a title and a price. No need to add more details unless you want to. Click list and that's it. Your item's listed and you're good to go. This is apparently available in the both iOS and Android versions of the Mercari app. So I did not get an invite, which despite having over 8,000 listings there, you'd think they would want to reach out to somebody with that many. But I've not been invited to this. If you have and you're watching on YouTube, let me know. What do you think of it? For my part, I think descriptions are important because they add a certain level of detail that is, especially in the stuff I sell, is probably necessary. If you're selling clothing, you want to have details. You want to have more size information. So I don't know. I suppose for a really, really casual seller, somebody who is literally just trying to sell one item like they would at a garage sale, this might be helpful. But for us as resellers, I don't know that this is particularly useful. The last article, this was announced in an email that I got from eBay as well. This article, and of course I will link to these in the show notes and the video description below, is from Value Added Resource. eBay for charity changes could spell trouble for sellers on refunds. So eBay notified sellers last week who use the eBay for charity program to donate to charitable causes of a major change, which is coming in November, that could spell big trouble when it comes to refunds or returns. The email that went out to sellers said, your donations through eBay for charity will now be automatically deducted. We're simplifying your experience when you donate a percentage of your listing proceeds to your favorite charity. Starting in November, we're rolling out automated donations with eBay for charity. And the best part, there's nothing you need to do. I'm always leery when they say something like that. That's usually not the best part. If I don't have any control over it, that makes me really nervous. What you need to know, you'll no longer be required to manually transfer your donations. We'll automatically collect them from your total sale amount once your buyer pays for the item. And this is where it gets a little tricky. We'll begin rolling this process out in November, and by early 2024, this will be available to all U.S. sellers. So again, it's something that's going to be rolled out gradually over time to sellers. Your donation will reach your preferred charity faster and with zero effort on your part. Donations through eBay for charity are non-refundable. So if a buyer requests a refund after your donation has been sent to the charity, you're still required to refund the buyer the total amount. That is where sellers, and I think rightfully, probably are in a bit of an uproar. We'll be updating our community selling terms and conditions to reflect these changes, so don't forget to check back for more details soon. Sellers who use the program, of course, are saying this puts them at risk of having to refund donations in the case of a refund. Absolutely. So if somebody buys something for $100 and you've got whatever 2% set up as your donation, so $2 goes or whatever the amount is, it really shouldn't matter. But it's automatically, immediately deducted from your proceeds for the donation. If the customer then immediately requests a cancellation or to stop the sale, or they request to return it, that money is not coming back to you. You have made a donation, and that donation remains. That is not going to be refunded by eBay to you. That would make me probably want to stop using that program. Now, I don't use it anyway. I do all my charitable giving on my own, not through these sites. But if you are using that program, be aware that potentially starting in November, those donations are going to start coming immediately out of your proceeds as opposed to being billed to you to be paid later, where you had some control over, hey, you know what, this one was refunded to the customer. That money is no longer there. I don't want to make that donation. So be aware that that is coming in November. This is really, it could amount to a substantial amount of money if you get a lot of refunds and cancellations. I, for my part, don't. I've got, I think, two returns total in the last 6 months and maybe two cancellations of items that were paid. So this would not, even if I was in this program, it would not represent a significant amount of money for me. But for some folks, this could really add up. With the donation, this article again says, being immediately taken from the payment, if the buyer requests to cancel, it appears the seller will be on the hook for the full amount of the donation themselves. So there you go. If you're using that program, that's coming starting in November. You may not see it until sometime next year, but if you're on their charitable giving program, you might want to reevaluate whether that is the best way for you to donate to the charity of your choice. With that, that's all we've got this week for the reselling news. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, you can leave me a comment down below about what you think regarding any of that, particularly that Poshmark thing. That's pretty interesting stuff. Now let's get into a pretty remarkable week of sales. So I don't think I have a single item here that's as amazing as the $300 item from last week's, but I have got a bunch of really, really strong stuff this week. So there's 14 or 15 things here to go over. So let's just get stuck right in here. This is a book I picked up at an estate sale for $2 about a week ago. Nani Yoga by Yogi Ramacharaka. Yogi Philosophy, Volume 4. This was published back in 1934 by the Yogi Publication Society. This sale had all kinds of kind of alternative religion, stuff on Buddhism and Hinduism, and I bought a ton of it for $1 to $2 a piece. This thing was listed less than 2 days. I had it listed for $27.99 or best offer. I got an offer of $24 and went ahead and shipped this thing out. I was at another sale where there were a bunch of Easton Press books. I don't see these really very often. They are generally anywhere from good to ridiculously great money. Most of the ones I got in this batch were good. I've sold a bunch of them already, but this one from 1988, Sons and Lovers by D.H. Lawrence. Again, Easton Press illustrated copy in a leather hardbound book. Really, really great condition. I paid one whole dollar for all of these. That was a really terrific sale. Had it listed for $28.99 or best offer. I got a watcher. I sent out my 15% off offer and sold this thing for $24.64. Another book from actually that same sale. So this is another one I got a dollar in. New Marked Reference Bible, Chain of References System from 1972. It was leather, published by Zondervan. If you can find these kind of chain of reference Bibles and study Bibles, a lot of them can, especially if they're a little older, can bring pretty significant money. Again, this is a $1 estate sale pickup that sold for $29.99 plus medium mail shipping over on eBay. This is a book I have had for a very, very long time. I thought it would be great money. It turned out to be okay money because I've got it discounted so significantly. But this was Church History for the People by George Henry Trabert. It was a second revised edition from way back in 1905. I had it listed for $69.99 or best offer. I've had it long enough that it's in my 50% off offering this month, so it was $35. It got a watcher. I sent out an additional 10% off offer because I just want to get rid of this thing at this point. Sold it for $31.50. This was part of a big bulk buy pickup that I own for about $2. Another of those film books that I've talked about over the last month or so, the RKO Features, Complete Filmography of the Feature Films by James Niebauer. This was a McFarland Press. Again, if you find any of these, they're not worth hundreds of dollars, but you can generally get them for a buck or two, and they're going to bring pretty consistently anywhere from $20 to about $45. This one sold for $32.29 on a 15% off offer. Had it listed for $37.99. I'm into it for $2. For sale over on Etsy, another of those nicer edition books. This was actually from the Franklin Library, which is another. They're not quite generally as valuable as the Easton Press editions, but this one was pretty good. The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. This was from 1991. Again, the Franklin Library leather hardcover. Had it listed for $39.99. I'm running everything in my Etsy shop this month at 10% off, so this sold for $35.99 plus shipping. Another one that I own for a dollar. Here's one. The Living Torah, The Five Books of Moses by Aray Kaplan in Hebrew and English. Pretty much any time I find these religious books that are in multiple languages, they're almost always worth money, and I almost always pick them up. This was an estate sale buy probably 6 months ago that I picked up for a dollar. This sold for $39.99 plus media mail shipping. So again, be on the lookout for religious books just generally, especially older ones, but anything that's in dual languages. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I had the one that was in Arabic and English. That was the Holy Bible. This is the Living Torah in Hebrew and English. Hey, what do you know? Something that's not a book. don't do a lot of these kind of things. I see puzzles and board games out all the time, and they're usually pretty well priced, but I'm just not trying to count all the pieces in a puzzle box or a board game to make sure everything is there while I'm at the sale. I got too much other stuff to do, so I generally don't even look at these unless they're new and sealed. This one, lo and behold, was in fact new and sealed. The board game called Last Chance. It's a dice board game by Milton Bradley. Vintage game from back in 1995, apparently one that's not made anymore. I picked this up for $5, new and sealed. Had it listed for $42.99 plus shipping. I received a $40 offer from some folks up in Canada through the International Shipping Program and sent this thing on its way. Back over to Etsy. A book that was part of a big lot of kind of aeronautic and pilot books that I picked up about 6 months ago for a dollar a piece. This was a paperback from 1992, Understanding the Sky. It was a first printing with the errata sheet. So errors that had been made in the printing of the book, there was a separate sheet that included what those mistakes were so that you had the correct, accurate information. It was written by a guy named Dennis Pagan. Really difficult book to find. Again, I picked it up for a buck, had it for $44.99 over on Etsy. In the 10% off sale, it sold for $40.49 plus shipping. Back over to eBay. I feel like almost every week about these old engineering and old textbooks. This one is not even all that old. I think this one was from the 90s. Stationary Engineering, second edition by Frederick Steingress and Harold Frost. It was an illustrated hardcover in really fantastic condition. Picked it up for $2 at an estate sale. It sold for $59.99 plus media mail shipping. So again, if you're inclined to be looking for books, old textbooks, old engineering books can be super, super valuable. This was an interesting one. So a lot of times when I see these big, like almost coffee table size military books, I sometimes don't even take the time to look them up because a lot of them are really low value, $2, $3, $4, sometimes even free shipping. But this one was one that looked a little bit unusual. So I looked this thing up. MIG Killers of Yankee Station was written by Michael O'Connor. Hardcover with its dust jacket, published back in 2003 by New Past Press. Sold comps on this thing were anywhere from $100 to $140. I was blown away. I had no idea that this book would be worth that much money. This particular one was in absolutely immaculate condition with one exception. The main title page had the bottom third corner cut off for some reason. I don't know if this had been a promo or what the story was, but it was missing the bottom third corner of its title page. So I listed it as acceptable condition, spelled out in the description what was it that made it that, and that it was otherwise in like new condition. I had, of course, photos of all of that with the listing. I listed mine for $89.99 plus shipping. It got a watcher almost immediately. My offer went out, and this thing sold for $76.49. I bought it at this estate sale for a dollar. If you find this one, absolutely, if it's in any kind of condition at all, grab it. MIG Killers of Yankee Station. Interesting weekend this weekend. So this almost never happens. I've talked on this show, and I answered a question for someone about this last week also. Mercari historically is about 7, maybe 8% of my business, and it almost never happens that I make more money on Mercari in any given time frame than I do on eBay. This weekend was an exception. I think we're going to have a couple here, just absolutely killer sales over on Mercari, and I actually made substantially more money on Mercari this weekend than I did on eBay, which, like I said, almost never happens. This first set of books I picked up at an estate sale about 2 weeks ago. I paid $8 for this set of four books. The Thomas Hardy Penguin Classics box set included four books, cloth-bound hardcovers in fantastic condition. The box itself was in great condition. I could find no evidence that these books had ever been read. No marks, no smudges, no nothing. Just absolutely in like-new condition. This is a really valuable set. If you happen to find it and can get it at a reasonable price, definitely grab it. The Thomas Hardy Penguin Classic Boxed Set. Four books. Again, I paid $8 for it, so $2 per book. It sold for $78 over on Mercari with free shipping. So really, really terrific sale over there on Mercari. Back over to Etsy and another kind of engineering book. This one, the Westinghouse Electrical Transmission and Distribution Reference Book, fourth edition hardcover from 1950. Again, your initial thought process is, why would I list a mechanical engineering book or an electrical engineering book of any kind on Etsy? Etsy is still a vintage and or antique site, as well as being for craft stuff. So I list all these old books over there anyway and do reasonably well with them. This is one that I picked up at an estate sale for $2 a couple of months ago. Had it listed for $89.99, again with my 10% off sale over there. It sold for $81.99 plus shipping. So another one of the kind of old vintage electrical engineering books that brought really pretty remarkable money. Here's an interesting one. I talk pretty regularly on this show about old, like, railroad memorabilia and stuff like that, books about trains. Some of them are not worth very much, but some of them can bring just ridiculous money. I picked this up about 6 months ago at an estate sale for $3. A Chessie System Color Guide for Freight Equipment. It was a 2003 first printing by Randall K. Fields, illustrated hardcover with its dust jacket, all about the color scheme of vintage Chessie System railroad freight cars. I had it for $3. Comps on it looked amazing. I had mine listed for $129.99 or best offer. It's gotten watchers a couple of times, and I've sent out my offers. This time I got a bite at $110.49. Like I said, I bought it for $3 at an estate sale. So really terrific sale. The guy's already got it. He loves it. He's already left good feedback. So awesome. That's one definitely to be watching for. Again, any of this old vintage railroad stuff, I do well with. Not necessarily $20 plus, but vintage railroad hats, they sell really well. I can generally pick those up for a buck or two, and they almost always sell for $15 or $20. So anything like that definitely is worth taking a look at. Another old religious book. This one was really old and actually in pretty rough condition, but there were just not very many of these available. So this is from 1884, the Holy Bible, both Old and New Testaments complete with concordance, was published by A.J. Holman, again from 1884. Big, like, I don't know, 8 by 13, massive, massive book, weighed, I don't know, 9 pounds, something like that. The cover was partially detached from the spine. Some of the pages had tears and were really well tanned. The only other ones currently listed were like $250 and $400, if my memory serves me correctly. Because mine did not appear to be in as good a condition as those, I listed it at $149.99. I bought this as a bulk purchase with a bunch of other religious books that I paid an average of about $2.50 for. This sold for, on an offer that I sent out at 15% off, for $127.49. So I don't stumble a lot on these really old Bibles, but when I do, I grab them, and they can be, if this had been in better shape, this is a $250 to $300 item every single day. And here's your flip of the week. And this one was also over on Mercari over the weekend. This is one I picked up at an estate sale a couple of months ago for $2. A Mystery for Mr. Bass, a Mushroom Planet book by Eleanor Cameron. This was a ninth printing. So this is not even a newer version, or rather an original version of this book. It's from 1960. This was in library binding. So this was a heavy duty binding copy of this book, sold specifically to school libraries, which may have made it a little more unusual. Again, I picked this thing up for a couple of bucks at an estate sale. I had it listed for $199 or best offer on eBay and Mercari, and I think I had it for $205 with free shipping over on Mercari. Over the weekend, I had a potential buyer send me an offer on it for $164. I probably could have countered and gotten a little more money out of it, but I was like, I own it for $2 or $3. Well, I'm not fighting City Hall. Let's just sell this thing. So if you find this, an original from the 1950s or 60s, A Mystery for Mr. Bass, it's got pretty good money in it, sold for $164 with free shipping. This is one of those that, generally speaking, anything that gets to about $60 or $80, I will ship it in a box. I'll bubble wrap this. And then put paper void fill in the box and ship it in a box. This is not something I would send out in a bubble mailer. So you can let me know in the comments below if you're a bookseller. What do you do with these more high value books? I like to try to protect them. This is one that I also sent out. I typically send all this stuff media mail. I sent this one Ground Advantage, and I did pay extra for insurance on it because it's a little more expensive. So definitely worth doing. Going through these old kids' books sometimes can be a little tedious because there's a lot of low value stuff in there. But every now and then you stumble across something like this and you're like, holy smokes. this is going to be a fun one if it sells. And it was from a couple of bucks to $164. So that is going to put a wrap on a really busy, what amounted to about 10 days since I'm a couple days late with this episode. But I appreciate everybody's patience. You may have recalled, I may have mentioned it on Instagram, and I know I put up on the YouTube community boards. I was celebrating my birthday this weekend, and people had me out doing all kinds of stuff. I just didn't have time to get to this. Monday was actually my birthday. My intention was to record this, and I had some other friends that reached out. So while it set me behind on getting this show done, it was arguably one of my best birthdays ever. So a big thank you to everyone that reached out to wish me a happy birthday, either on Instagram or Facebook or through YouTube, and obviously to all my friends and family who made me feel really, really special this past weekend. And now, it's time to sell. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.